This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, you are now in the conversation. You got your boy, the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in the building. D Lemon is shooting his next season on the True TV's Comedy Knockout. But on my right-hand side, I got...
Vladimir Bartholomew Thelonious Rasputin Slocum Calixt III. Comment nous y est, c'est Vladimir, moi sorti à Haïti. Et puis, moi content pour me là avec Ali, avec Chris. Comment nous y est, nous notre conversation.
Ça passe.
All the time.
No doubt.
Oh, I thought you said separate. Okay.
Nah, but on my right-hand side, I don't have the Dominican Vlad, but I do have my man, Vlad, just Vlad, Calixt, Haitian V, in the conversation.
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up, my
what's
man?
Up, players? No, hey.
No doubt. What's good with you?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. Just been working. Just been trying to get, get on TV also.
You trying to get on that TV? For, you know, for everybody yeah. out there who might not know, Vlad is a comedian who also has a character, Haitian V.
That you're partially responsible for.
Yeah. I mean, I was just the battery, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So Vlad, we know Vlad from Vibe. He used to work with us, you know what I'm saying? He was a young buck, you know, intern at the time when I met him. And he was an aspiring comedian at the time. And, you know, he's one of those resourceful kids, you know what I'm saying? So it was a group of interns that always seemed to be everywhere but never needed no help to get there. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, just very enterprising, yeah. Just show up in the spot.
I was really, I was bold those years. Yeah, I was showing up to spots like, it's Baby Bentley. Remember that shit? I was like, Fonzo Bentley used to be my mentor at a point in time. And, he called me Baby Bentley. And I was just walking in the spots. Like,
Talk about that era. Like, you know, we got a lot of people who listen to the show who's still on the come up and on the bubble. You know what I'm saying? So we always talk about, you know, the hustle and the grind and that type of thing. And you know, as far as I know, you were one of those kids who was always seemed to be able to make your way. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, with no help, didn't need to ask permission, just, you know, showed up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I knew what I wanted. I didn't care. I still don't care. I don't care for celebrities and stuff like that. You know, I don't want to be a celebrity either. I just want to be successful. So just do what I know. And, you always used to make me like tell jokes too, like in the office, like, yo, give me something right now.
Well, you said you were a comedian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, wow, this is on the spot. So I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand the structure of comedy, but I knew I was around the people that I needed to be around in order to get to where I needed to get. And not saying I'm there, but I'm not saying I'm not. You know, I'm in a you know, way better space. But we had a lot of good times in that office.
Mm-hmm.
I was an intern having a meeting with the president. Like, it was like I had some audacity, man. But
but that's what it takes.
Yeah,
out here,
it did.
You know what
it did, man. And built rapport, built relationships, and you actually made me go to college too, man.
What you mean?
You made me go away to college. Like, you had a talk with me. Like, man, it's important that we go to school. Like, it's important you go to school. Like, man, fuck. Like, forget school, man. And it's like, no. All of us went to school. Like, all, you know, like that marketing, you know, department. Everybody was like some prominent. You know, had a level of prominence to where they went to school and. You know, or they were in, they were Greek or something. So right. It was just like, yo, man, it's important to go to school. So
yeah, but
school.
You know what I'm saying? You had that opportunity out of state, and it's like, you know, one of the main things outside of just having the paper, because, you know what I'm saying, the paper is not going to really help you if you don't know how to utilize it.
Exactly.
The one of the main things about that whole thing, what I be pitching is, get out there, you're going to mix it up with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
people
for
from
sure.
all over, and then... You know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years from now, all of those people are going to be in all these different places, and a lot of times you're going to be able to make money with them. you know, yeah. if you're hustling and enterprising. That's, you know, very what I'm saying? True. Very you're gonna learn different things about the world, about people, but then at the same time you learn a lot of shit about yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't know how irresponsible I was until I really went to school. It was like, oh shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I gotta cook myself.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then, you know what I'm saying, you get around people that you like. For me, I went to school, I went to FAMU, right? And, you know, I thought I knew something about black people. You know, I've been black. I'm an expert black. You know what I'm saying? I know black shit. And then when I got there, I started meeting these different kinds of black people that I had never came across. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I met this one girl, Tasha, and she's, you know, she always talked real funny, you know. And her family was from Chicago, and they lived in the same neighborhood with Oprah. But when I started talking to her, because, you know, she was like, hey, Tasha, she'd be like, hi. I'm like, who talks like that? You know what I mean? And so I just wanted to know who the hell she was. Like, who are you? And she was basically like, her family, you know what I'm saying, has been pretty much educated since Reconstruction, shit like that. Now, you see Reconstruction in that one little chapter in your history book in school, and you skip right through it. But until that moment, I really never understood how it went and how, you know what I'm saying, it was structured so that black people could get in the system and get ahead and do all that shit like that. So a lot of people did take advantage of that, mm-hmm. and became prominent citizens of the United States. Exactly. And then they took that shit back with Jim Crow. But I didn't know, you know what I'm saying, that, yeah, shit, y'all motherfuckers been balling ever since they stopped slavery.
Yeah.
Oh, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? That fucked my whole head up because I thought I knew shit and I didn't
Me
know
too.
Shit.
I went to a black college.
Name it.
Norfolk State University in Virginia.
No doubt.
And I didn't speak to anybody. Like, I didn't speak to anybody. I had like one friend. He was from Brooklyn also. And we were like two guys. It's two stooges. Like, we and if he had something to do, I was like, I had big headphones. They called me Radio on campus. You remember those big, like, big test headphones you used to have?
Pre-beats.
This is before beats, yeah. The
big joints.
The big joints they used to have, you know,
with the spiral cord at the bottom.
The air exam you used to have in school, yeah. Like, you know, which sizes come from. Those were the exact headphones I had in college. And it called me Radio, man, because I spoke to nobody.
Why wouldn't you speak to people?
I don't know, man. It really was a culture shock for me, because right. It's like, you coming from Brooklyn where no one says good morning, right. You know, not even your mom or anything. So it's just like, you get to a place which is kind of Southern, and people are so like cheerful and like you still have that.
Yeah.
Yo, what the hell is wrong with this dude right here? You know, like you don't conform. So it took me a while to even start speaking to people at school. And I didn't know. I thought I knew black also until I got to school and like, oh, I'm kind of light skinned right here. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like the true black I thought I had. Yeah.
Right.
Shout out to Norfolk.
No doubt. That tripped me out too when I got to campus and, you know, people you just meet and then they like, hey, and they want to hug you.
Yeah,
and like, what the hell?
Yeah, you fall back.
You going to put them titties on me? I think I like this college.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I loved college.
This college is pretty cool.
Yeah, I loved college.
They didn't do that type shit in Miami. It was, you know what I'm saying? You kept it moving.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, Miami and New York are kind of the same, but it wasn't like that in Virginia, man. Everybody was friendly. Everybody wanted to talk to you. Hey, right. Brooklyn, what's up, man? Where'd you get your hat? Like, the store. Like, it was like...
On Flatbush, man.
Are you going to go? Yeah. This was a time Jay-Z had changed clothes.
Oh, right,
you remember
that
Scully that had the brim on it?
That's the hat
I had. It was like, yo, where'd you get that hat? Like,
at the bodega.
Where? Like, the corner store with my chopped cheese.
No doubt. So when did you loosen up?
Like a comedian?
Nah, just on campus. We building your store.
Okay,
we letting
sure.
people get to
I
know
loosened
you.
Up after this. This is weird because I don't think I ever told this story, but I loosened up after this girl I talked to. We were leaving class, and I ended up walking her home, and we did some. You know,
it got a little freaky situation.
It got friendly.
Okay.
It got friendly, and she just broke it down to me. Like, no one, like, everyone here is, like, friendly. There's right. no, just don't leave campus. And I used to do that. Like, I walk everywhere. So right. I walked off campus, like, go get food and stuff like that. But she broke it down to me. Like, yo, everybody here is so cool. And, you know, just kind of saying how the Southern hospitality was not, like, a rumor.
Right.
You know? So that's kind of when I kind of flourished.
Changed your life.
Yeah, changed my life. I started going to parties, which I was like, damn, I was regretful because it was like, damn, like, I could have been at these parties from, like, day one. The sweat box. Yeah, this thing called the sweat box.
What was the record at that time?
Oh, what was the record?
One of them joints where you went in like, oh, it's going down.
Oh, I used to be like a dance hall dancer. I used to dance like dance hall music. So whenever they had like, they would of course always have like DC, hey, when been supposed, man, like right. like that go-go. Stuff. They had go-go and they had house music, which was like Maryland and
Chicago.
Stuff like that. Yeah, and then they had the bass music from Florida, you know, like all that stuff.
Florida, Georgia.
And then they always had to cater to the like 14 West Indians that went to that
yeah,
school.
Yeah, but you can't like really sharp. Play bass without reggae. It's kind of like
kind of yeah, go together. The same, right?
Yeah, yeah go together is. Real good.
It is. It's the same rhythm kind of. So yeah, so people found out then like, "Oh shit." Like, radio could dance? like, oh shit. So it was like, radio could dance. Like, okay. So people would try to invite me to their parties and stuff like that just so they could, like, that's when I started hearing more, like, reggae music be played, like, dancehall music was played even more now just because radio's at the party.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
radio became your first character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, I didn't like it because it was based off of radio from the movie Radio that Cuba Gooding Jr. plays. So I was like, I didn't want people calling me Radio. It's like... Yeah, only one person I let call me Radio. It was this lunch lady. I really was, well, not lunch lady. She
even the
in,
lunch lady was in on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She called me Radio too. But I let her call me Radio because I wanted to be friendly with her too. So it was
oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah,
she was that kind of
nice.
Lunch lady.
Oh, she was nice, yeah.
Did she give out the free tickets? She didn't give you no extra.
Oh, she
tickets?
Did, yeah. She gave me, matter of fact, the one day she overdid it on giving me, like free food. I ended up getting food poisoning, man. I was like, lunch lady, I never spoke to her after that again. I was like,
oh, she wasn't that friendly no more.
Oh, no, not to me. What you trying to do, lady? Yeah, so I got sick, like, seriously sick, like, to where my mom was, like, ready. Like, I will come from Pennsylvania to take care of you. Like, where you going to stay? Like, I can't stay. She's like, I cannot stay in your room. Like, no, you can't stay
no, this is a dorm,
my room. This is a dorm, mother.
I'm yeah. your mother.
Yeah, she don't care. My mom is shut down anything.
She would have came through anyway.
Yeah, she would have. She would have.
Yeah, man. Shit. So you came back to New York.
Came back to New York. Tried to, you know, kind of get the relationships that I had, that I built. It was kind of shaky because in the industry, if people don't see you for 2 weeks, you become a complete stranger. Like, hey, what's up? Like, hey. Who the hell are you? Like, it's me.
Where you been?
Yeah, where you been? So, did that kind of
only flies your last party.
Exactly, man. So, I did that and then started working with a photographer, Johnny Nunez.
Oh, you right with Johnny?
Yeah, I was Johnny.
That man, you was everywhere. You met everybody.
I was literally everywhere.
You met everybody. You worked with Johnny.
Everybody. I worked with Johnny Nunez. Yeah, I was.
And how was that? Because I know Johnny, like, you know, what I'm saying? We started together, you know, and you seeing how Johnny just moved around from just doing the events and then people kind of used to mock the fact that Johnny was the cameraman sometimes, and this is just in the peripherals, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, he's the cameraman. But then, you know, I'm in the marketing department, so we would once hire him, and I'm looking at, you know, okay, we paid Johnny $600, which wasn't nothing to the budget,
right? The budget.
But Johnny doing about 3-4 parties a night.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So yo, that instilled in me too, like the way he would move and shake, like, yeah, we gotta go. And we in a party with like, party, like you can be in a party, like literally, Dave Chappelle, Common, Talib Kweli, it's like, right. all the big wigs are just there. And it's like, yeah, all right, you ready? You ready to go?
We got to go.
I'm like,
because Johnny done triple booked.
Dude, triple booked. Triple booked. And yeah, started working with him, was head editor of his company. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, and my mom was living in Pennsylvania, so it was just like weird on my own type of thing after college.
Right.
So it was that, and then was working with him, worked with him for a little bit, a few years. Met my hero through Michael Jordan.
Where did you meet him?
At his steakhouse.
Oh, where?
Yeah, Michael Jordan Steakhouse. The first time he ever ate there.
In Grand Central?
In Grand Central, yeah. Uh-huh. And it was like Team Jordan. They have like the best high school kids out of the country. And we went there. And yeah.
And what did you say to Jordan when you met him?
I said absolutely nothing.
What did he say to you?
Absolutely nothing.
What's up, radio?
Don't. Oh, wow. He was like, don't cry, man.
Like, that's what he said.
Yeah, he said it. He's like, don't cry, man. Like, oh, shit. Damn you, Michael Jordan.
Hey, that's cool, though. That's better than, you know what I'm saying, him sunning you or something.
Oh,
crazy.
Yeah. It's better than, no, I'm not going to take a picture with no niggas.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me.
He took pity on you.
Oh, no. I guess I was in the right space, so it didn't seem like, you know, sometimes you're in certain areas and it's like, you don't know who belongs there. Mm-hmm. And that particular night, everyone that was there belonged, even like Terrell Owens and Spike Lee, and it was just
and you
and me in radio. Yeah, I don't want to. Hey, y'all better not call me no damn radio on the street. Man. We fighting. Yeah, so we did that and worked. It started getting tedious, you know, because I really was like, how old was I, man? This was like 15 years ago, but probably like 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready, man. It was just like, dude, I was in that was like really, to me, like what I called a job.
Right.
I was making, you know, decent money for my age.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you wanted other things.
I wanted
to move faster.
I wanted to move faster. But,
and you wanted to go to the party for real.
And he was kind of, no, I don't like parties. Okay, I don't even like the party. I just want to do my thing and go home.
Right.
Yeah, so it got serious, like to where he needed me there. It was like all the time.
Right.
Dude, I can't handle this, man. And then it came to me, it went from editing to, hey man, hold this camera. Like, hold this camera. I never shot a picture like professionally in my life. You know, so
well, you start the day. Shoot.
Yeah, so it was shot, and then those were probably like the happiest and weirdest moments of my life.
Shout out to Johnny Nunez.
Yeah, shout out to Johnny Nunez.
I saw him too,
because we kind of had a falling out, and then I saw him this year on my birthday.
Uh-huh. That was your first time seeing him since then?
No.
I mean, since first time kicking it, chopping it up?
Well, speaking like cordially to where we were, we had like some big fight, like big argument in front of like Kevin Lyles and Gail King and shit.
Oh,
like,
shit.
This shit got crazy.
You was out of control.
No, it wasn't me, man. Okay. It wasn't me. It got serious. But we you know, hashed all that out. We hugged it out, you know, like grown adults. And then,
no doubt.
And now we're cordial.
No doubt.
Cool. Shout out to you. You know, you gave me a lot of opportunities. Not the opportunities I wanted, but. You know, I got my foot in doors
that put you in the door.
Yeah, he put me.
And a lot of times, man, you can't. You know, these experiences, all of them, they all interconnected. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So sometimes you might be in a spot where you don't like it. You know what I'm saying? But you toiling along. But throughout that experience, you're either learning something, gaining something, or putting yourself in position for something better. You know what I mean? And if you don't take those necessary steps to get stronger in your mind, you know what I'm saying? When you do get it, it's a trip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So, shit, if you're in the building shaking hands, rubbing elbows, at the least you got out of that shit was how to move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't, and it's crazy because I always tell myself this. I'm like, I don't think you would have been able to handle this later. Because I'm glad I had it when I was young. It kind of, I'm numb to it now. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's Denzel Washington, or, you know, that's Naomi Campbell. And you're like, oh, okay.
What up, dude?
You know, it's not, oh, my God, you know who you are. It's like, yeah, I know who I am.
Don't cry.
Right, don't cry.
At 40.
Yeah, and I met him, like, literally the next year. Like, next year, I saw Jordan again, Michael Jordan again, in All-Star Weekend in Houston, and it was a room. He taught me how to play pool. It was weird, man. And then they wouldn't even let LeBron in that room.
Wow.
So that's how crazy.
Well, you know, Joy. No, I don't.
It wasn't even that. I don't think this was like around his rookie year, I think.
Okay.
So people knew him, but nobody, like, they didn't hold him on that pedestal that people do now. So
right.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let him in the room.
So you up in there?
I'm in there, like, but they thought I was Michael Jordan's son too. So that was kind of weird. yeah, man. People were offering me a whole bunch of shit. Like, hey, man, you want to come?
Well, you was in the room.
Yeah,
like,
I was in the room.
You was in the room.
Exactly. Right that back to the, what like, I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
who
you,
doesn't belong?
You in that room.
Yeah.
If you in that room, nobody got no motherfucking questions for you.
Oh, because
you
sure.
done passed all
yeah,
the other
you're
checks.
Right. You're right. All the, yeah, for real. All the checkpoints.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
man.
And it's a value to being in that room if you know how to move.
Yeah, I was quiet. I didn't say anything. And then he came and sat next to me. I'm like, all right, man, keep you cool. Don't cry.
No doubt.
And he just started talking to me. I'm like, okay, yeah. So it was super, man. I had a great young adulthood.
All right.
Yeah.
So then
I told you we had the falling out, and then he and I had the falling out, and then I didn't know what to do next. And I was doing like little rinky dink, not rinky dink, but I was doing like little freelance editing and stuff because I was photo editor, and then that wasn't enough. And you and I had that talk, man. We had that talk in August, and then.
But before we had the talk, yo, you had already started doing.
No.
You hadn't done Haitian V at all.
No, I did one Haitian V thing.
Exactly.
I met this dude at a Kanye West party,
mm-hmm.
and he had. It was like some Kanye West party, and Farnsworth introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there, and we're talking and whatever. Everybody's getting in their, you know, car service to go home. I got to get on that 2 train,
mm-hmm.
head back to Flatbush.
the iron horse.
And dude happened to be on the train that he introduced me to. He's like, yeah, I work at Good Music and this and that, and we're trying to do some comedy things with a Good Music. We gonna put out a DVD and shit. Do you do any characters or whatever? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, so come by the office tomorrow around like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And I did that. This was, and I did the Haitian V thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he put them all on YouTube, but the only one that was picking up steam, like that was like getting all the views, was the Haitian V thing.
Right.
The thing. So it was, and then after that, I didn't do it anymore because it came right. So easy.
But nobody's
gonna pay attention to this shit.
Right. So that's where this conversation started. It's like, okay, he was out there, like you would see Haitian V, and I'm a student of the game. You know what I'm saying? I watch shit. I watch how shit go.
Oh, for sure. Yo, and you kind of, like, you predicted, like, a lot of the things that happened. No, like, a lot of things that happen in, like, pop culture or even, like, media-wise. You told me in that conversation, like, man, this shit about to turn over, man. You ain't going to see magazines no more. You ain't going to see, like, it was like everything's going digital.
Because I owned the magazine.
Yeah.
I was losing a whole bunch of money.
Yeah,
and like, I knew that the video shit... I was getting money during the videos.
Exactly.
So I knew the video shit was next.
It's about to turn over, man.
But I was watching the Haitian V shit take off.
Yeah.
And not just the numbers where you see the numbers. Okay, that's how many people viewed it. But how many people talking about it? How many people sharing it? You know what I'm saying? And what in media they would call engagement.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, this Haitian V shit is popping. And you wanted to kill Haitian V off after the first joint.
Oh, yeah, because people didn't think I spoke proper English. So it was like people couldn't separate Haitian V. That's why I even came up. It was like, okay, Haitian V.
You thought you were getting typecasted in your own fucking typecast.
I was, though. Nobody really didn't think I spoke proper English. And then by the time they realized it was too late, like show would be over or some other thing. So,
but to me, I'm like, fuck it. That shit is working.
Exactly.
If nothing else working, that shit is working. That shit is already working, man. Go ahead and run with that shit.
You told me that. And then we sat, where we sat in like your dining room.
In my dining room.
Yeah, we sat in your dining room. Bro, I probably had like $15 to my name that day. Dude, and You're like, yeah, man, just keep going, man. Just everything that comes out pop culture-wise. And that was the beginning, like vlogging, really.
Right.
He was
right.
Like, yo, whatever comes out pop culture-wise, just go on and just talk about it. Just have Haitian V do it, though. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then a couple weeks later, which was like literally September 11th, I started with Haitian V talking about Kanye West and 50 Cent's album.
Oh, right. When they had the little.
Yeah, they had a little.
The match off.
Yeah, the match off thing. Sh- yeah, the Rocky and Club Lang.
Right.
Hey, boy.
I pity the fool.
I love that guy, man. I love the Rocky series, which is weird. Like, that's like one of my all time favorites. But yeah, so did that. And then started Haitian V and it just started picking up, man. And before you know it, hey, you do comedy? Like, hell yeah, I do comedy. So, and that's what started, man. Consistency.
Yeah.
And diligence, man.
Because that shit was working. If you already working, then they want to know what else you got.
What else you got. And from there, it just started picking up steam. And then I got, it was getting too much, the Haitian V thing. And I stopped again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because people really couldn't, you know, like, yo, who so, use that?
All right, so a lot of people do characters on the internet. You know what I'm saying? You got Miss Charlene out there. You got, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different characters. You got the, what's her name? Such and such, the scammer.
Oh, Joan.
Joanne the scammer and shit. But you were able to take that character, you know what I'm saying? Just you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? Whatever team you had putting together.
Nobody. It was me and my sister. My sister had found a camera on the bus or some shit.
You know what I'm saying?
She found a camera on the bus. And at that time, the quality of camera was like, okay, this is good for, you know.
Right.
You know, there was no 5Ds and stuff. Right. Like, it was like that. So I was like, oh, okay, I could use this. So I got a tripod.
Oh, so you shooting them shit by yourself?
By myself, man. I had a tripod. I set it up. It was like, and then it would always be like a walk-in. Like, hey, what's up? Hey, this is HNV. Like, whatever. And it'd be that. And then I leave. And then that was
that's
man.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I did it all. I'm still doing it. I still do everything myself.
So man. So you were able to take that character. Like, you know what I'm saying? I seen that character go from, you know, you on YouTube doing your thing to Haitian V on the flyers. Haitian V traveling, flyers. You know what I'm saying?
Billboard even. You remember, because of that series, that stuff I was doing,
uh-huh.
Billboard reached out to me like, hey, why don't you do a weekly Haitian V thing, and we're going to give you some artists to critique.
Damn.
And you just, and I'm on Billboard's website as Haitian V. It's like, who the hell is this guy? But people would just start reaching out. Hey, man.
But really, what stuck with me though was once I saw, I've seen a whole bunch of stuff, but then I saw you were in Miami on a stage at some big festival.
Oh yeah, man,
doing Haitian V, and I'm like, yo, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that shit bugged my mind. It still bugs my mind.
Like, that shit is crazy because it's like this one little thing creates, you know, livelihood, like
snowball effect.
It creates a door that you walk through and you become whoever you're gonna become.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed, man.
So that's the bugged out part. Like, if you got an idea, man, execute that
people
shit.
People tell,
man.
Yeah.
Just
plan,
do that shit.
Plan
man.
Strategically, execute flawlessly.
You know what I'm saying? Did you plan strategically or you just did that shit?
No, there's a folder right now. It's like real, like.
With a real Haitian V plan.
With a real Haitian V plan.
Damn. That's what's up.
But, and thanks to
so
y'all.
So, plan.
Yeah, there was a plan. There's books too. There's like little notebooks, like, you know, those Mead black and white marble notebooks. It was a lot of those. I go in the store and just buy one, like, yeah, right. And write down stuff. And I used to keep, like, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember Kennard made a joke about this. Like, I used to keep a whole bunch of, like, a stack of papers in my back pocket. Every day would be like, kind of like a small.
And what are you writing on these stacks of paper?
It was jokes. It was jokes. It was ideas, things I wanted to talk about. Like, it was a whole bunch of stuff. And then there was like this one card that had like a whole bunch of quotes that I thought was fly. And which I actually found at my mother's house too. Like, that's my storage space. And It's like plans, man. There's a lot of books, a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff written down.
So what's up with it now? Like where you at with it as far as your plans and your execution at this moment?
Okay, it's crazy because
so we can mark this part in the future of Vlad.
The director of I'm coming out with the Haitian V movie.
Oh hell no! Nah.
Yeah, I saw that. We're in pre-production right now. The director he keeps like, "Yo, call me, nigga." Like he talks to me just like that, like, "Nigga, what?"
Who's the director?
Gene Patterson.
Okay.
He's Eugene Patterson, but he goes by Gene Patterson. He did a lot of actually the stuff where there were became sequences. It became like Haitian V playing basketball versus scamming. He shot a lot of that stuff on a video camera.
Right.
At that. Yeah, but so we had he had a script. The script is like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in pre-production for a Haitian V movie right now.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Y'all shooting that, Brooklyn?
Yeah, because the character is kind of, you know, it's a character that's from Haiti but moved to Brooklyn like all Haitian people do. So,
some of them moved to Miami.
They be in Miami. Like Miami is just the first place to like, oh, this is America. All right, we good here. We good. So that's where they stay. But I learned a lot, man. Portland, which is one of the first places Haitian people migrated to.
Portland,
Oregon.
That's
furthest away from
Haiti.
From Haiti.
They're like, yeah. We're getting the fuck out of here.
We're getting out of here, and we're not going to get caught and sent back. So, so the motherfuckers in Portland. And I didn't realize that until I got booked for like to do this show in Portland. Like, what the hell is Portland? What Haitians in Portland? That show was just like, holy shit, there's a lot of people in Portland.
So, I mean, they're just out there.
They like, this is like
a Haitian outpost.
A big community, man. Yeah, and Seattle's right there, and there's a whole bunch of Haitians in Seattle, too. Like, yo, how far are y'all trying to go?
That's how that shit be. Like, yeah. Yo, dude, we in Portland. Don't know, fuck Miami.
Yeah.
Like, fuck get Miami. Far, no, get no, far. No, no,
no. Miami people, they're going to get caught first.
We're out here.
Yeah.
And it's good living. It's good living.
Oh, yeah. It's cold. It rains, but hey, they deal with it. Yeah.
The food is fresh.
The food is fresh.
Farmer's market.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of this. It's a culture shock. But I like that, though. I like that Haitian V is making me adapt to a lot of, is bridging a lot of gaps for me.
And what made you create the character Haitian V?
Oh, that's based off of my uncle. It's based off of my uncle. It's my uncle. My uncle, Ernest. And the name comes from my cousin, who's an older guy. At the time, matter of fact, he and I lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the earthquake happened, and then he moved his wife and two daughters in, and it was like, all right, cool, let me leave. It's like, it's not a bachelor pad anymore. So we did that, and what'd you say?
Made you create Haitian V?
I didn't. It wasn't really creative. It was just something I did on the fly.
Right.
Like, hey, be Uncle Ernest. I'm like, okay, what's your problem? It's like stupid things that he would say and how he tries to conform or just to adjust to American lifestyle. And it's always funny. It's always funny. So that's how Haitian V is. That's what made me do Haitian V. It wasn't really like, no, because he asked me, like, the dude's name, Mo Cheddar, he was like, yo, man, you do any characters or anything? I'm like, I do this.
Right.
This Haitian thing around the way that people like, you know, everybody likes. Like, all right, cool, it's on. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah.
So from that, that was with Good Music.
Yeah.
And what's some of the other things that you've done with the character?
Haitian V?
Yeah.
Wow. Cardi B did her mixtape, Josh X, did some stuff for Wyclef. Was on Wyclef's album and mixtapes, videos. Shows open for, you know, you name them. I've been on the road that heavy, but you know, I talk about Haitian V like he's like a real person, a totally separate person from myself. And dude really opened all doors for me, man.
Right.
Like, not all, you know, we're still cracking a few, but I don't know, man. Appreciate you. Thank you for being the battery.
Hey, man.
Appreciate everybody.
That's all we do out here, man. That's what we do.
Yeah, uplift.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Out of all that shit, you know what I mean? You know, I'm a fan of the Money and Violence show.
Oh, Money and Violence. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I was on that too. Was you Haitian V or you just playing a Haitian character?
Well, I am. See, the thing is, now when people see me and I'm doing a Haitian accent, it's not, you can't really separate Haitian V from that person unless I'm like a whole getup.
Right.
I gotta change or be somebody else. Yeah, I did Money and Violence, because I've known the guys. Matter of fact, when I started Haitian, when I was doing Haitian V, the guys, this is when I used to club and stuff. I used to take pictures too for a site I have called lifeofthecity.com. And me and my dude, we were building it, and I was the photographer. Like, dude, you're Haitian V. Why are you taking pictures? Like, I got bills. You know?
Nope.
I got fucking bills, man. T-Mobile didn't want to hear, you know,
Bro,
I dress great or anything. So. It's just that. So Money and Violence, they told me about that thing like literally probably 8-9 years. Matter of fact, I want to say 7 years before Money and Violence even had season one or anything. They told me like, yeah, we're going to do this web series called Money and Violence. Mm-hmm. And it's about like Flatbush and this. And I'm like, all right, cool, guys. Let me know when y'all need me. But then they started it. And people would talk about it like, yeah, Money and Violence. I'm like, yeah. You know, none of them, I know, because actors take the craft seriously also. Mm-hmm. So when they see people that's like, at least go to school or whatever.
But they were just regular
but
dudes.
But they were regular dudes that just had a camera.
That's the charm.
And it was the same thing. It was the same formula. And that's what made me realize, like, dude, it's the same thing, man. Like, yeah. Yo, you're a normal guy out the hood trying to get an opportunity, and this is what they did. So.
And they made a way for themselves.
And they made a way, and I knew the guys because I knew the guys from, like, street, like...
From the life. From the world.
Street life, yeah. Like, right. People see me in industry parties. Yeah, you taking pictures with, you know, Paul Pierce and this and that or whoever. But then when I take that 2 train back home...
Right. You're back in the bush.
I'm back in the bush where it's Crips, Bloods, Haitian, you know, Haitian Mafia, and, you know, like killers and dealers. So I knew these guys from there, and they started Money and Violence. Money and Violence took off from season one. And like, no, you have to be on it. And then I did that once. Like, it was, I'm like a reoccurring character.
Right.
So I just pop in. Same I want to, and then you see me for one episode, one scene, and that's it.
Right.
And it just kept going.
Right.
And people would request, hey, man, when is Haitian V going to come back?
It was like, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so, it, yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I see the show. I think to myself, you know, it's regular guys doing it. But I was shooting this thing. I was shooting this casting. So we were putting together this content around this casting call. And... a lot of the guys from Money and Violence showed up, like Miz and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other
Miz, like, I know him from before, like acting.
Right. But they were actually in a fucking audition. Like, I was like, you know what I'm saying?
You look
and then it's funny because the people, like the casting people, they're like, okay, who the fuck are these guys? You know what I'm like, nah, these motherfuckers, this is it right here. These motherfuckers are stars on the internet.
Where's
the casting people look? Oh, like,
what you got?
Yeah,
what do you have?
Come on with it. Come on with it.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo, that's Miz, man.
Impress me.
So that shit was funny,
yeah, man.
That they're actually going out,
trying
to do shit.
You see, Miz, dude, the guy, I forgot his name. I know my name, real life name, but dude, Shane. He played Shane.
He was there too.
Shane is doing films. The guy that played Ray, his name is Ray, and Miz, he's in All Eyes on Me. He played Haitian Jack in All Eyes on Me. What's that, John Legend and Nas Project or whatever. He played some cellmate of Nas or whatever. Like,
and this shit was for the Nas miniseries that they were, I was shooting the casting for the Nas miniseries that's coming.
Oh, okay.
On BET.
Oh, super.
So that, you know what I'm saying, it just fucked me up that, you know what I'm saying, I didn't know he was in movie, in All Eyes on Me and all that. So it just fucked me up that they were actually at the casting call.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know what I mean, trying to really act and shit. Yeah, I thought it was like, you know.
They casted him for, like, you're Haitian Jack. Okay. He sounds like him. Like, he still got the act, got the twang. You can still
right,
hear
right,
it.
Right,
and
right.
If you know who Haitian Jack was, you'd be like, okay, yeah.
I mean, I only know the name.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I don't know the face. I don't know nothing about him.
Research.
we're not gonna talk bad about Haitian Jack.
No, not at all. This ain't no. It's props. I'm just saying research.
I'm just talking about myself.
Oh, okay, okay.
Not you. You know these people. I don't want to be no confusion.
Oh man, tout va bien, Haitian Jack. Everything's good. That's what I said. Don't be alarmed. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Opportunities, man. You know, don't call us amateurs when we really the pulse. You know what I'm saying?
Message. All right, so shit, man. What you fucking with? What you listening to out there?
Lately, been doing a lot of I don't listen to much hip hop. You know, it's not much people I listen to. I listen to J. Cole. I'm still listening to Born Center. Mm-hmm. I'm still listening to 2014 Forest Hills Drive, which is probably like one of those top albums for me.
Mm-hmm.
I watch that. I'm like whenever I get into like something, I like get like real deep into.
I remember
being into Bonsai Trees for like couple weeks because a girl mentioned it to me. It was like,
these girls be changing your life, man.
I started smelling good again, you know what I'm saying? It's like I used to just leave the house with lotion, like smell like
now you got on, you know, your smell,
yeah,
good
now, you I got on smell goods now, yeah,
to put your pheromones out in the world.
Oh my god, you smell so good. Like, yeah, executive producer, yeah. Dick Wolf. It's a rap. Once you tell me I smell good, executive producer, Dick Wolf. Word, it's a rap. You know, once you see that name, it's over. Yeah, so, just doing that, man. Who I'm listening to. I listen to Kendrick.
Kendrick dropped some new shit.
Yeah, Kendrick is.
You know what I'm saying? You know, with the Be Humble.
Be Humble. Oh yeah.
The video. You know what I'm saying?
It's still not gonna reach the amount of people, women I want it to reach, or the women I want it to reach. But
what are you speaking of, man?
Huh?
What do you mean?
Humble. Be humble, man. Be humble.
But he just talking to the women?
No, he's not talking to women, but...
he talking to all y'all.
He talking to everybody, but people think is directed towards women. Like, people feel like the song is for...
There is a verse. I mean, there's a part of the verse dedicated to, you know what I'm saying? You know, let's show your natural, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, but...
And I ain't mad at that. I like the natural booties and shit like that. I like what I call an organic booty, you know what I'm saying? And an organic breast, you know?
I love that, man.
You know what I mean? But, you know...
I'm not even like a breast guy like that,
but
even.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm a foot guy. Have pretty feet. Be humble and have pretty feet.
I legs is my kryptonite, but, you know what I'm saying? As far as breast is concerned, you know what I mean? My philosophy on it is I like a breast that works. And I think I talked about this on the podcast before. You know what I'm saying? I like a breast that works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That you know what I'm saying? You put your lips on it, you know what I'm saying? It causes a reaction.
Oh, okay, for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you
it's
know.
It's not like breathing,
so,
like.
Yeah, so I'm not mad at the shape.
You breathing on the top of my head, like.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't want a numb ass breast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Don't give me that. Give me some good breath.
You know what I'm saying? Historically, you know what I'm saying? I didn't mind a flapjack or a big breast.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I came up on the National Geographic magazine. So the first titties I seen was like, you know what I'm saying, flapjacks.
Oh, for sure.
Like that's a titty.
Yeah.
I'm grown. But you're really six.
Oh, for real?
Like, that is a titty.
Yeah, that's a titty. I'd rather some low self-esteem breasts than some
damn,
fake breasts.
Why they gotta have low self-esteem?
I'd rather sagging breasts than some fake breasts.
Okay, all right, that's bad.
Breasts that got low self-esteem.
Oh, the breasts got low. That's not fair.
They hanging low, baby.
That's not
but
right.
I don't care. I'll fuck with them. Excuse our language.
That's terrible.
It is what it is.
But anyway, Kendrick put out the record saying, you know, that you know he tired, you know, let's do less Photoshop.
Let's do less Photoshop, less filters.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's see the real you.
Yeah, but you know, it's so easy to hide, you know?
I've been
it's
trying,
so fun.
I was trying to promote that for a while, too. Like, how about everybody?
How you going to promote it?
Well, I was just trying to have everybody promote kind of like, you know, being just regular people, man. Like, everybody is some sort of star. So I was just trying to promote being regular people. It was like, hey, man, why don't we just, you know, instead of just promoting our positive, like, yeah, man, I just got a new car, I just got a new apartment. Why don't we just promote
I just paid my bills.
The rent is due.
I just paid my bills.
T-Mobile just sent me another text.
That shit is depressing. Nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, but like, who wants to see, you know, all wins? You become Golden State and become hated.
No doubt. But see, here's the thing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we say, you know what I'm saying, we don't want to see that shit. But as soon as that shit show up on the screen, we're like, damn, what the fuck is that?
Double tap.
Hold on.
Double tap.
Let's see what's going on here. So, you know what I'm saying? We talk out of one side of our neck, you know what I'm saying? And in our real life, we probably do execute that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I like my wife. My wife is natural, you know what I'm saying? I like what's going on around my house.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, in real life, you know, you execute that. But when it comes to our TVs and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? The standard has been pressed in so goddamn hard that it's kind of like when you see something different, it's almost a shock.
Exactly.
And I talk about this shit because I be shooting shit, right? And I, you know, for a long time, I mean, it's changing now because we having more black content on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they don't show black people don't get to relax on TV. Like, you know, there's no character where that's just chilling. Like, got their shoes off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you home and you making love to your ladies, always got to be some hard, rough. You know what I'm saying?
DMX and Belly.
Your clothes still on. You got to be in full action. It's never, like, we don't see bare black feet on the TV too much.
No,
Issa Rae put some in Insecure. It's a couple times in the last year. But
I'm trying to get on that show too.
It's not no regular shit popping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We like to chill too.
Yeah, we
you
know normal.
We like to relax.
We drink we drink stuff other than alcohol. It's like it's always sometimes. Sort of like
But you know what I'm saying? They got like four sets for black people in the movie.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Man.
The club, the jazz club, church. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
And work.
Work or the kitchen.
The kitchen.
Somebody's kitchen.
Or on your robbery set.
You know what I'm saying?
On the streets.
Something's about to happen. Something's always about to happen. Yeah, it's never like a calm.
You ain't never come home from work like Mr. Rogers and take off your sweater and change your shoes and shit.
What was that? The last one was Cosby shows.
The Cosby show was the 80s, got down the
90s. I know, man.
That was a long time ago.
That's heavy, man. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that anymore.
Since then, we've been working our ass off.
We've been working. Like moving backwards.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, shit.
The Cosbys were chilling, and now we working.
You get to see the white lady actresses and shit. They got their bare feet. They on the beach, and they have on some long, flowy, silhouette-y
chilling, like
shit,
they got
chilling.
No worry in the world.
You know what I'm saying? They paparazzi shit be chilling.
Black people,
shit.
I'm late for work.
Black paparazzi, boy, you got to be in full gear. 7-inch heels, fake titties out there. You got to be in full regalia. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm all for a change in scenery and the option to do some, you know what I'm saying, real life shit.
Real life.
But I'm not, you know what I'm saying, I'm not, you know, what they call that? I'm not naive.
I'm not naive. Yeah,
to believe that when they put the big fake titties on and the big booties on, that people not going to look at it.
Hey, I saw fake ass on the way here.
Did you?
Yeah, I couldn't. Because I saw that I was walking
black
fast.
Black or white?
She was black.
Around here?
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. I was like, what the hell are you doing on this side?
No doubt.
But it was here. So I was like, yeah, you probably gonna, you know.
Did you let her get a whiff of your cologne?
No, because what it was is like I saw it from afar.
Oh, okay, from afar.
Like, you know, you be in your cell phone and then you put it in your pocket and you look up and like, oh.
And then how did you
but
ask
I was her? I was walking fast and I noticed that I was catching up to her.
Mm.
So I realized,
of course
you know.
Were.
No. I was like, I realized that I was walking too fast.
Of course
so I
you
slowed
were.
Down so she could get cause like so I could watch a little
so
more.
So how did you ascertain that the ass was not real?
Her legs was too skinny. It wasn't the ratio from ass to leg wasn't
the thigh ass
the thigh to ass
ratio.
It didn't fit. It didn't go well. So it looked like an upside down Hennessy bottle. Yeah,
no doubt. That the real ass got that nice little crease.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Where the thigh meets the ass.
Exactly.
Them other shits be having like a little shelf.
You look like an ant.
Yeah. Yo, somebody posted on a damn shit yesterday on the gram of a dude on the beach.
Oh,
he had a
screenshotted it.
That shit was
crazy. I screenshotted
crazy.
It and sent to my friends, like, yo, niggas out here getting ass shots too.
It was a man with a fake ass walking down the beach in Speedos.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I didn't look at it again. I was like, screenshot. Yo, man, look at this.
Shit look crazy.
Dudes is getting ass shots too. Did you see this?
No, I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, I got you. I told you I screenshotted it.
Everybody wanted the booty, man.
Oh, man. Everybody but why? Why would a guy want a booty, man?
He's trying to pull something too now.
Why do you want a fat ass? Because
he wants some attention too.
Yeah,
man.
But why?
See, all this shit is about the, you know what I'm saying, attracting the whatever. I guess I don't know if that's attractive to the opposite sex. So he probably trying to attract the you know what I'm saying, the people he trying to attract. You know what I'm saying?
Well, who are you trying to attract to that?
I have no idea.
I want to know what kind of beach. What was that beach? Where was that beach? San Francisco?
I think it was in Miami.
Oh.
Because the first, the DJ that first posted it was from Miami.
Is that the same DJ?
Are you talking about my cousin?
I always like remember that. What? Matter of fact, that was a big record in whenever Norfolk State. It was a big record.
What's it, the peanut butter and jelly?
Peanut butter and jelly tongue. And people would go crazy. Like, yeah, this is my man's cousin right here.
Yeah, that was my cousin, DJ Chipman out of Miami. You know what I'm saying? Man. He made peanut butter and jelly tongue, ice cream and cake and cake.
That made it to Family Guy, dude.
Listen, man, I started this particular part of my operation off of ice cream and cake check.
Oh, wow.
We look at Baskin Robbins. You hear the song "Ice Cream and Cake and Cake" in the Baskin Robbins commercial.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
that. See, that's what like. If people don't know Ali,
that shit. Hey, don't trip. Them songs make a lot of fucking money,
brother.
Come on,
I know that.
And you know, it is what it is. DJ Chipman, Dance King of Miami. Yurt.
I'll be there. I'll be there in May.
You going to Miami?
May 17th.
What's happening?
23rd. A thing called Compa Fest, which is for
Haitian?
Yeah, Haitian Flag Day is May 18th. Mm-hmm. So Haitians just started, more Haitians started going to Florida. Like they meet in Florida.
Yeah, that's the headquarters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The United States headquarters. That's the base. They come from Portland and Seattle. Let's go tap into the mothership.
We gotta refuel.
Happy
little
Haiti.
Yeah, so Compa Fest, so I'll be out there for that. I'm performing, doing
I might need to come
shows.
Out there for that.
Bruv, I would.
Tell them you need a videographer out there with you.
Okay.
Man, you know what I'm saying?
We'll talk after this is over.
Yeah,
but brother.
I might need to do that.
Brother, man, this Compa is going to be. It's a very, very, very major situation, man. Like, people. Like, now it's becoming a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
People involved.
And what happens at this fest?
Everything. There's concerts, parties, pool parties, phone parties. Meet
Do
and
people
greet.
Get shot?
No. Okay. No.
Yeah, you know, some of these
Haitian
festivals.
People don't shoot people. They throw they throw powder on you and cripple you.
Haitian people had them machetes.
Oh, in Miami, they got them
machetes. And
yeah,
shit.
I had to get out. I had to get out of a rough patch in Miami.
What you talking?
I had to get out of a rough patch, man. yeah, it was crazy. I tried to play the face card like, hey, it's me, man. We don't give a fuck, man.
I'm Haitian V.
It's me. He's like, yeah, we know. We don't give.
Why they was fucking with you?
No, they wasn't fucking with me. It was just like the area we were in. And
you was trying to shoot?
No, I was shoot photography.
Yeah,
these
but
where the murals were. It's a whole bunch of murals.
You don't
in Little Haiti. But the thing is, they turn in Little Haiti into an art district. So
part of it.
Yeah, part of it. Right. Because there's another part that will never be an art district.
It's bumping up against the art district.
Yeah, so they tried to turn it into an art district. So they have a whole bunch of murals over there.
And they was like, hell nah, no,
sir. No. It was that, but they saw me with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw me with a camera. And one guy was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, you know, go ahead. It's right there, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And one guy was like, don't bring no cameras over here.
Over here.
So dudes just started letting it rip, like the guns was out.
They brought
like,
the guns out on
you? Yeah, man. I saw it was, if you ever been a little hit, it's good.
See, that's the point.
Go in passing. That's like going through Compton or something like that, like or Watts. Yeah, it's like drive at a good
and that's speed. That's fucking from Haitian V.
Yeah, that's from me.
But
so it was letting it rip, man.
Yeah, you need when you over there, when you're in little Haiti, you need a hood Sherpa.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You need a real Sherpa. You can't just be freelance.
No, no, no. I thought you know I could go there on face alone. My face is my ticket.
Yeah.
It was like, no, it is not.
No, sir.
Nah, get out of here.
You ain't put no money on this trip.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So like, yeah. Get out of here. No, no, we don't want them.
You
don't
a solo?
Want no camera. No, no, no. Camera guy and whatever. So I'm trying to take pictures in front of murals of the president of Haiti at that time, which was Sweet Mickey, who was a good friend of mine.
Oh, you was friends, good friends with the president of Haiti.
I still am. We saw each other Friday.
Haitian V for real,
yeah,
y'all.
For real.
It's not
man.
Even. This ain't no internet shit.
No, it's for Haitian, real. For Haitian real. V is like it's like we're great. We're good friends. Like a picture of me and him is in his book.
Where he live in Haiti?
He lives in Haiti. He has homes here. He had homes here in America too.
He coming to the Compa Fest?
Yeah, he'll be there.
Oh, then I'm
he'll be there. His son is
gonna come with him.
Big artist.
We gonna be with him.
All right, no problem.
Because then we'll make it. It's gonna be all good.
No problem, brother.
Hey, you Haitian? Do you know Wan G?
Wan G used to have a lot of ads in Vibe magazine.
Yeah, that was my he was my client. That's how I know.
Okay, that's why. Oh, yeah, he was marketing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I know.
I just he's making like clothes or something like that. Some weird spaceship clothes and stuff like that.
Like Wan G is a, it's you know what I'm saying. He's a
all around guy.
He's fucking like right now, you know what I'm saying? You'll see Wan G in the Wraith and the da 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 with the mansion with Paris Hilton with the, you know what I'm saying? He's in LA
yeah,
with the stars.
Dude, straight.
But before I moved to New York, it's like 98 on South Beach before South Beach was cool like that. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Wan G used to have this big ass tour bus with the Haitian flag on it,
all
say Wan
G
and was, you know what I'm saying? Passing out mixtapes and shit. And like, I never really heard a Wan G record ever in life.
I don't think I ever heard one either.
But Wan G,
as much as I used to say, like, yo, this guy's Haitian.
But Wan G been like rich
forever.
Since to where he could have a tour bus
real.
On fucking South Beach.
Then.
Wrapped up in the 90s.
Then. Exactly.
You know, and then when I met him, they bought an ad, but I used to sell ads. At one point,
he used to have the full page joints. That's what he used to have me like, yo,
he used to buy real ads like a record label. So, and then, so I was selling to him. And I happened to be in LA and at Mr. Chow's. And I'm sitting down and I see Wan G come in. I'm like, yo, Wan G, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? I'm your dude. He's like, oh, shit. And he was like, I was like, I just so happened to have a magazine with your ad in it. And he's like, oh, this is crazy. This is, oh, my God, this is crazy because I'm coming here with my investors and shit and da-da-da-da. So I go to the car, get the magazines. I come back. I'm sitting there chopping it up with him. And then his people come in. And his people, it's like this old, decrepit white lady where, you know, she had like on a big fur, but she was like 100 years old. I'm talking about like old as shit.
You saw the plug.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, but she was like, what's the Hughes Aerospace pilot Hughes? What's his name?
The Hughes Brothers?
Not the Hughes Brothers.
Yeah, the aviator or whatever.
The one
of his name.
Who
yeah.
fucking who was had the syphilis and shit?
Yeah,
went crazy.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes, I think she was like Howard Hughes' last wife before he died.
Oh,
and you know how
wow.
rich
okay.
fucking Howard Hughes
okay.
is.
Like, so we get it.
If you got DirecTV, then right. that's Hughes technology, okay? And then we take it from there. So, and he been dead. You know what I'm saying? So this lady was like Hughes' wife when he died or some shit. So, but she in cahoots with Wan G is one of his. I'm like, yo, what the f-? So I'm confused as to what's mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then he introduced me to da da da. He's like, yo, come outside. And then he had, at this time, he had earlier that week, he had just bought a Phantom. This is when the Phantoms had just dropped.
These Haitian guys, man.
I'm like, yo, what the fuck? This nigga got... I'm like, I never heard a 1G record.
Never,
this
motherfucker ever, got the Phantom. How do you got this?
He like, got the Phantom. He got the old rich white ladies bro, behind him. He got a video with Paris Hilton.
No, because I... you remember, the thing with the interns and vibe was that everybody wanted to see their head, their name on the letterhead, right? and me, as, you know, stupid as a baby Bentley in the letterhead.
That's what you put?
The mass head, I mean. Oh. The mass head that would show everybody's credentials or right. whatever.
You put baby Bentley.
Instead
of your name.
Nobody told me no.
But nobody knows who the fuck Baby Bentley is.
Everybody at that time.
At the time, now.
Not now, but I don't care.
At the time, everybody.
Show me a Vibe magazine right now.
You were stunting.
I was stunting big time. And I used to see, like, yo, you're looking at it and you turn pages. I used to do a lot for Vibe. I was a model for Vibe.
Hey, if you around, if you fucking around, you will get put to work.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? That's the motto.
You get put to work, but there would be a lot of opportunities that were presented also.
Yeah, definitely.
You.
But you had to be around.
Yeah,
and
man.
See kids.
And I was in the perfect department marketing.
The kids, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying? 90% of the game is showing up. You know what I'm saying? Up. Just fucking being there. My whole fucking shit was because the day I went to meet the motherfucker that put me on that Vibe, and he said, all right, I could put you on. I can't pay you. I'm like, damn. He was like, but I'll buy you lunch every day, and I'll give you a Metro card. I'm like, well, shit, that's all my problems. All you know what I'm saying? Really? I just need to eat and get to the opportunity. Shit, I'm good. So this is a Wednesday. He said, all right, come in Monday. We're going to start, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting home Thursday like, well, shit, man, I ain't got shit to do. You know what I'm saying? I was like, nah, I ain't going to go up there. Then Friday, I was like, man, fuck this shit, man. Why the fuck I'm gonna wait till Monday? It's, you know what I'm saying? It's Friday. I'm gonna just fucking go up there and shit. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
What
most kid he tell me except go home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I go Friday, and as soon as I walk in, he was like, hey. He just hung up the phone with a brand that needed an after party for this event that we was about to work on. And so I went in the back, started making calls, setting up this after party. And it was in Florida. I'm from Florida. So, you know, I know motherfuckers. And so about 2 hours later, I came back, had the venue, had the, you know what I'm saying, prices on the venue, had the radio station, had a DJ, all this shit lined up. And then this nigga like, well, how the fuck you do that? Well, I called such and such and such and such. He's like, you know such and such? I'm like, yeah, that's my man. And he was like, you know what? When you come in Monday, the same Monday that I was supposed
to
start it.
You're supposed to come.
Bring me an invoice for $5,000. I'm going to find you some money. So I was supposed to start Monday for free in the Metro card and the lunch.
But then
because I showed up Friday
with diligence
and the shit and something just fell off the fucking table into my lap.
It didn't fall off. It was supposed to happen.
But it's about three other motherfuckers that was supposed to get that. You know what I'm saying? If I wasn't there, they would have went to another motherfucker who already worked there.
Yeah, but it's their loss. And
exactly.
You made the thing.
And I made that shit pop.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is being there is being in the shit. Whatever the fuck you doing, just like I'm saying with your comedy, tell a joke. Nigga, if you're going to be a comic, tell a motherfucking joke.
Like, you used to have like this small hand on the camera. Like, and you come out your office, give me a joke.
Like, cause that's what
I don't got shit right now.
I know, and it sound crazy, but if you say you something, you need to be able to be that shit 24/7. If a motherfucker say, "Hey, I need a video today," goddamn it, you know what I'm saying? We gonna make a video, goddamn today.
Make something happen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I had to do it on my motherfucking phone. I know how to make a video. Word and up. You ain't got the right. wing shit. You got a few dollars. We gonna do this shit. All right, let's do it.
Word up.
You know what I'm saying? Because that shit is what takes you and keeps you going.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what I'm saying? You can't play ball if you don't go to the court. You know what I'm saying? You can't get pussy if you don't talk to the girls.
Or if you don't smell good.
If you don't smell good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Not the quality. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is being present in whatever the fuck it is you say that you do. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Word. And I think right now, we're going to transform the world up and be not present.
Word up.
Word up. Hey, thank y'all for joining the conversation.
I appreciate y'all for having me, man.
You know
man.
What I'm saying? Yo, Vlad, let them know where you're going to be.
Hey, where am I going to be? I'm doing a lot of weddings, a lot of, people hire me for their weddings and whatnot. But I'll be, I got a show, I got a show every other Wednesday in Brooklyn at Plenty's Paradise. You can see all information on www.justvlad.com, Vlad on Instagram, Just Vlad on Twitter, not Just Vlad on Snapchat. That dude is a weirdo.
And who are you on Snapchat?
Just Vlad NYC. The guy that has Just Vlad handle on Snapchat, like, goes to, like, he's a weirdo. Like, dude go be in the park and jerking off at night.
Like, did you watch that shit?
No, somebody told me. Like, what the hell?
You watched that shit.
No, I really did it, man. I swear to God, I did not watch. I did not watch that shit. Because it was like, yo, it was a girl I was ignoring at a time, and she thought she was following me. And then I was ignoring her, you know, dubbing her and stuff. And then she's like, oh, you could post, but you can't text me back or whatever. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then come to find out, she's following Just Vlad on
Snapchat.
On Snapchat, and dude, he travels though. Mm-hmm. He travels, but he does weird stuff, like jerk off in the park and stuff. Mm-hmm. Weirdo.
That's some weirdo shit.
Well, not really. You know, just everyone has their preference.
That's not weird.
Jerk off, huh?
That's not weird.
What?
Jerking off in the park. That's kind of illegal.
It kind of is, but it's illegal when you get caught. It's not illegal if you
don't. I'm not endorsing that shit.
No, I'm not endorsing it either. But it's not illegal if you finish and
it's nothing illegal if you don't get caught.
If you
know what I'm saying? Like shit,
you finish and then you go home. Well, you fall asleep on the bench or something.
You know what I mean? Well,
what are you doing after?
This message is not endorsed by Ali Muhammad or In the Conversation or Damian Lemon or Vladimir Kamanyan.
Come on, or Vladimir Kalicks. I'm just saying, Just Vlad is just a weirdo.
No doubt. All right, so you
can... Much love In the Conversation. I appreciate y'all for having me.
No doubt. And I appreciate everyone out there for listening, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for, you know what I'm saying, riding with your boy. I know, you know what I'm saying, sometimes it's not the triumphant, but I'm here holding it down, you know what I'm saying, in the absence of my brothers who are out there getting at work.
And
you
know who are my brothers also.
You know what I'm saying?
We're not strangers.
No strangers here, no new friends. Right. You know what I'm saying? Y'all catch D-Lemon on True TV, Comedy Knockout. Y'all catch Vlad at Laughing Vlad all
Laughing
over the
Vlad
internet.
Or Optimum Commercials.
Now, he's not doing that this season.
No, I saw him on the Optimum.
That was the last
season. Yeah, but you still catch him. They still run him.
Yeah, he said, fuck that shit, man. I'm big time.
No, they still run the commercials, though.
Yeah, but they got the internet series, too, that go with it.
Oh, okay.
Super. On the new one, I only see the fat guy. I don't even...
Fat guy.
But I don't watch it because Vlad ain't on it, so...
It's whatever. Loyalty.
Whatever. Whatever. I only watch that shit because of Vlad.
Fuck out
of
here.
You know what I'm saying? But y'all can catch me at Mr. Muhammad on the gram. You know what I'm saying? At Thorough TV on the snap. You know what I mean? And if you're in bed style, holler at your boy.
If you're in Flatbush.
You know what I'm saying?
Get out.
So tell a friend to tell a friend, and even an enemy, to get in the conversation.
Yeah.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.